from the Montreal Gazette, Mike Boone, joins us. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hey, it's sunny here, too. There must be a correlation between bright sunshine and crappy teams that don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, sadly, it hasn't been that sunny in Edmonton for the last decade, but we will take it for this year. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe it's that's the only ray of sunshine for Canadian hockey fans this year, because the draft lottery, Mike, you're kind of a newbie to it in Montreal, but you guys are probably already doing the NHL draft lottery simulator to see where the Habs might end up.
Well, actually, the last time they had a most favorable position in the lottery was the year Galchenyuk was drafted, when they got to pick third. And I think you guys had the first pick that year and took Yakupov, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, the Oilers actually won the lottery that year. They had the second best chance and won it. And some would argue that they won it and lost it at the same
Columbus
time.
Columbus picked second and took, was it Ryan Murray, I think, defenseman?
Yeah.
So Galchenyuk, who had, in his last year of junior, had torn up his knee, I think, in training camp and hardly played at all. So the Canadians were drafting based on his potential. And it's panning out.
You know, I've been reading a lot of people online kind of saying, what was the delay? Like, why was Galchenyuk not given this opportunity before, Mike? Is that a valid concern, or is he just more mature now and ready to handle the opportunity?
Well, I think he's more mature. He's physically different from the kid that they drafted. He was known even in junior as a workout warrior. So it wasn't that he wasn't in shape, but he's just grown into his body. He's a more powerful skater now. He's faster than he used to be. He's more imposing physical presence. I think the jury is still out a little bit on whether he ought to be at center. He was drafted to play that position. You know, the Canadians have been in search of the elusive big center for what seems like forever. But even through this current red-hot string, he's got 11 goals and one assist. So, I mean, you know, what does that say about his playmaking ability? And there have been, the criticism persists about his play in his own end. He's not the best, you know, he's not going to win the Selke Trophy as the best defensive center in the league, certainly. But what the heck, the kid can score. And I think if he had the same line mates for 82 years, the assists would pile up for him as well, because he's just a magician with the puck. I think from the day he was drafted, there were flashes of it, and now he's a pleasure to watch. He's the kind of guy that almost justifies ticket prices at the Bell Center.
Well, you look at his goal scoring right now. If he's not the best defensive player, I don't think it's going to matter when you're scoring as often as he is. And obviously, you're not going to score two goals every game. But him and Pacioretty seem to be finding some chemistry. The Habs have been desperate for a legit, proven number one center for quite some time, Mike. And that's obviously why I drafted him. And it's too soon yet, because of a hot streak of eight games, to say that this guy is legit. But 25 goal season, maybe could finish with 30. They'll go into next year. I think it's obvious he will start as a centerman next season. And because of his size and maturity, you know, they might have a legit number one with him and Pacioretty.
I think so. Yeah, for sure. Heading into training camp, almost regardless of what happens the rest of the way, your number one line is going to be Galchenyuk, Pacioretty, and, well, question mark, Gallagher, Edmonton homeboy there, perhaps. But I'd like to see a little bit more size on the line, but we'll see. But definitely, you've got two of the three components for your top line are proving themselves down the stretch here, and bringing up a bit of, to repeat the weather metaphor, a little slight ray of sunshine on what has been a very bleak and dark season in Montreal.
Mike Boone for the Montreal Gazette joins us. Mike, even when Carey Price got injured early in the year, the Habs had played, they had won 17 games. They won 10, or played 17. They won 10 with Price, but they won 7 without him. Like, their backup goalies were decent and he was injured, so they were able to win games without him. Then when he got injured the second time, they couldn't win without him. How come?
Well, I think Mike Condon came back to earth. You know, Condon had been, two seasons ago, or even last season, he had begun in the Eastern Professional Hockey League, kind of made his way up to the AHL, and then won a game in training camp. But, on the nights that they were fairly good, he was awful. And in the games where he was, you know, fairly competent, they couldn't score goals. They had a devil of a time scoring goals all through those bleak months of December, January, and into February. They would score one goal a game, two goals a game. That's fine when you got Carey Price. You know, maybe he's going to get a shutout and allow one, but certainly Mike Condon can't goal at that level.
No, and eventually, I guess, it caught up with him. Defensive injuries late in the season after that lengthy losing streak obviously kind of sealed the deal for the Montreal Canadiens. And you look at moves now moving forward. I don't know if they're a team that necessarily has to blow it up, but offensive production is still the weakness of that team, right? And, you know, a lot of people, the Thomas Plekanec contract extension might come back to haunt them the way he's playing right now. And I don't know if it's just an offseason for him or maybe he clearly has lost a step. But some guys on that team, Lars Eller, what do you see the future holding for him? Do you think he's in Montreal? Is he a guy they're looking to trade? And is there anybody on the blue line you think that they could dangle to try to help them bring in some offense up front?
Well, Eller has never exactly been the flavor of the month here. He came to Montreal in the Yarrow-Halak trade, you know, when Halak was coming off that spectacular playoff series, and off he went to St. Louis. Lars Eller came back with some other guy whose name I don't even remember. And there were kind of high hopes for him, you know, first-round draft choice. He's never really fulfilled that potential. You see flashes of it. He's a big center. We say we need a big center. I don't see the playmaking ability. I don't see a sky-high hockey IQ, to be quite honest. And it's too bad. He's a terrific, well, he's not a kid anymore, but he's a great guy. He works like hell. He's a fine defensive center. He's a decent role player, but I don't really see him as top six. And maybe, I think if the Canadians found a team that still believed in his potential, or whether he went to a team, you know, a higher rated team that could slot him in as a number three center or as a defensive specialist or something like that, I think they would deal him. On their defense corps, I think a guy like Nathan Beaulieu might be available, although he's coming off some late season injuries, including a concussion. That's not his most recent injury. That's the one that preceded it. But again, a first-round draft choice, and I think teams might look at him and like the offensive punch and like the skating ability, which is off the charts for a defenseman, and they might be able to get something decent in return there. Because, again, he's... I don't think they like Beaulieu. They don't love Beaulieu. So, yeah, he could be available among the defensemen that they have.
Now, I'm guessing Tom Gilbert unlikely to be re-signed?
Yeah, there's no way.
No. Done? Okay. So yeah. If you look at the Habs blue line, obviously Petrie, Markov, where's Markov's game? Like, is he still a solid contributor, or is he somebody that's got to be protected a bit?
He's having a late-season renaissance. He's been just terrific, you know. All through the losing streak, a lot of people began to wonder, well, they're playing Markov to death. He's 36 years old. His knees are 86 years old. He's exceeding 20 minutes a night. What's going on here? And they began to get his minutes under 20 a few times. But then, I guess maybe for the last three, 4 weeks or so, he's been absolutely outstanding. I think his role changes a bit when he's paired with Subban. Subban does a lot of the heavy lifting, and Markov can kind of hang back a bit, rely on his smarts, and cover up when PK becomes too adventurous, which has been known to happen. But I think there's still some hockey in the guy. He's amazing. But the body has taken, you know, a million nicks and bruises and serious injuries. But the hockey brain is still there and functioning on all cylinders. So, yeah, and plus he loves Montreal. He's comfortable here. He might attract some interest in a trade, but he has a no-trade clause. And, yeah, I think he's at least another season in him. Let's put it that way.
Speaking of injuries, PK Subban, as Mike Boone joins us from the Montreal Gazette last night. Scary situation. I know he tweeted out this morning that everything's good. So have they released exactly? Was it a burner, Mike? Or what ended up happening with Subban?
Excuse me, man. You're talking about the Montreal Canadiens. You're asking if they've released exactly what's wrong? He could have been decapitated, and they would have said it's an upper body injury. No, well, you know, we're open to speculation. I think it was maybe some sort of stinger. It was a scary situation. The Bell Center was a tomb, you know. You could have heard a pin drop in the place. And they took their time. I think at least three members of the medical staff were out there getting him strapped down and onto a stretcher. But he gave a thumbs up on his way out, so you knew that his extremities were not affected by what happened, and then the news is good. I doubt they're going to rush him back into action, but it doesn't look like anything long-term, which is a very, very lucky break.
Yeah, very lucky for him, and obviously for the Montreal Canadiens, and really for the NHL. I think Subban's a guy that's good for the league. He's a heck of a player, and obviously wants to get back in. I know his coach said no chance he plays tomorrow, but sounds like he could be back, obviously, before the end of the season and maybe even soon next week. Mike, I appreciate your time. Enjoy the sun in Montreal.
Hey, it was my pleasure, man. Take care.